will do the intro when it's time to do the intro.
What if Taylor's loud again? He sounds loud again.
I'm always loud.
Yeah. God, Taylor, do it.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm stepping back as I broadcast from the seditious and Sagittarian summit, mining Bitcoin and serving as an idle wheel to inconspicuously inculcate you with the ideas of freedom and individualism, helping you to question obedience and laughing as Western civilization collapses. Woohoo! And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a. It's coveted by a BIPCOT no government license, which allows use by everyone except those nasty governments. And you can learn more
cheese doodles
on the air. And you can learn more at BIPCOT.org. So it's good to hear from y'all. It's been a while since I've been on.
Too. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on.
Hey, Chandler. Hey, Diana.
Hey.
So let's do the real sound check now. Hi, okay. Chandler. How are you? This is Michael Dean.
Hi, Michael Dean. This is Chandler. How are you?
I am well. Diana, how are you?
I am doing wonderfully, Michael Dean. How are you?
Good, Chandler.
I like the bigger buttons on the new Fiend phone.
Talk amongst yourselves.
I don't really think I have bigger buttons.
No bigger buttons. We always have bigger buttons.
On my Fiend phone. My Fiend phone looks exactly as it looked before. But that's okay.
The knobs aren't bigger?
The knobs.
Oh, can you say that on the radio?
Sorry.
Phrasing. Gets
no,
me every
the
time.
Knobs are not bigger. I know. Yeah, the knobs aren't bigger on mine. But it's okay. It's fine. Like, maybe they're slightly bigger. I don't know. It's like,
what's bigger?
I don't know.
The knobs.
Knobs.
Ow!
Yeah, they're bigger buttons. They're bigger buttons.
Oh my God.
What are you talking about? What are you laughing about?
My cat
don't touch
just.
Her button.
My cat just touched my button with her claw.
I don't know what that means. Is that, can you say that on radio?
Can you say that on the radio?
She likes bigger knobs.
Before the show, Diana and I were... Well, first of all, I was getting everyone up to speed with the new Fiend phone at fiendphone.com.
Fiend phone.
Freedom Fiends, the show you're listening to, does a lot with... we do a lot with software that most people don't do, including that, like, you know... I mean, if you're listening to Rush Limbaugh after the show or before the show, there'll probably be an ad that says, and you can download the Rush Limbaugh app if you didn't get enough Rush Limbaugh. But Rush Limbaugh didn't make the app. I made the Freedom Fiends apps. And you should get them. You should go to Freedom...
You're saying Rush Limbaugh made them.
Yeah, he made them. He took a bunch of painkillers and like hammered them out pixel by pixel with with a chisel, the old-fashioned manly way. Back in my day...
We hammered our pixels.
Were manly. They were made in Wyoming, the cowboy state. So... Go to the Freedom Fiends site, Freedom Fiends, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra, freedomfiends.com. Top right corner. Boy, that was unradio friendly.
I know. It's
crunchy. Yeah, so go there, get the Freedom Fiends apps for free. They're free for Android and iPhone. And I'm serious, people. Get them. I mean, we have a bunch of people who got them, but get them because... There will come a day, probably pretty soon, when Trump just takes us off the radio, when we won't be on the radio.
Well, especially if we are making fun of him, which we should profusely.
Well, he's, you know, Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. And Adolf Trump, I mean, that's Joseph Stalin Trump is...
has no sense of humor. Takes himself too seriously.
Pol Pot. We'll call him Pol Pot. It's a little classier than Hitler.
But I saw on Facebook that as long as he's busy tweeting about all his hurt feelings and everything, he's not doing anything to hurt anyone else.
I don't know. I think he's going to start World War III via Twitter. It's possible. You know, the ironic thing is he breaks the terms of service of Twitter every couple days. Like, if he were you or me, we'd get kicked off. But Twitter won't kick him off, partially because... You know, he'd probably punish them in some way by... The president could actually harm a big business like that, you know, a big company.
Yeah.
They could do things. But, you know, like he could, like, add a tax for every tweet or something. Any tweet that goes, any tweet that comes into America from outside of America, he could put a tariff on it, like 10 Bitcoin or something. But I think that Twitter won't kick him off because he's so good for business. Because, like, Twitter, you know, it's funny.
Well,
Obama was like the president, the first president that was like, you know, web
supposed
savvy,
to be, yeah,
compared to like Bush, but he wasn't really web savvy. Like, I really
not at
don't
all.
Think that, you know, I think that the presidential tweets, I don't think that Trump is even going to use the POTUS Twitter thing. You know, he'll just use his thing. Like, I don't really picture that Twitter pulled out his BlackBerry and ever tweeted at anybody. I think that Trump will be doing it during meetings live on C-SPAN.
I think he's going to start his own Trump bot, his own Twitter channel. Like, that's just, you know, he's going to get banned from Twitter and he'll start his own social media.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. He's one of the few people that could probably pull it off. But or he'll make it mandatory. Like, you know, tell the FCC, like, you know, every phone has to include my Twitter feed on my non-Twitter Twitter.
Bloatware.
So, yeah. He hasn't responded yet to the Chelsea Manning unbanning, has he?
So yeah, you said you thought he was like that. Obama's basically thumbing his nose at Trump, but what I've been reading is that it has to do with Assange and WikiLeaks. That
Assange said that. What did he say? He said that if
Channing is pardoned, yeah,
that he'd come that
or gets clemency.
That Snowden said he'd come back to America and face trial, which
that Snowden would or Assange would.
Assange would.
Said this or Snowden?
No, Assange.
It was Assange. Yeah.
I thought Snowden said this, but why would Assange go to America?
Well, or
he's not American. I think you're confusing. I think it was Snowden that said this, wasn't it?
Let me see.
I'm reading it right now.
It's who is it? Assange. Huh. Well.
Okay.
Would be willing to return to U.S. for fair trial.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so yeah, according
before, but not connected with. Go ahead, Diana.
Okay. Yeah, according to the Independent, it says Julian Assange under pressure to hand himself in for extradition following Manning commutation.
Extradition to where though? For Sweden.
It's that Sweden because. No, he's still got charges, the allegations of rape and all that against him from, I think it's Sweden or...
Yeah, that's what that's...
It's one of the Norwegian countries.
Yeah. I thought Snowden said that he... Okay, is there anyone here who is, like, has a fact in front of them? Or are we just three people on the radio going, oh, well... Has anyone got it?
We're just reading off the internet.
Yeah, I have a...
Is that ever fact?
I had the Independent article up that, you know, like I was, you know, that I just was reading from. It does mention Snowden. Let's see. It says that Mr. Assange could also face possible espionage charges in the United States.
Okay, so I was confused. You're right. I'm looking at Time magazine. WikiLeaks says Julian Assange will agree to extradition if Chelsea Manning is released. But extradition to where? Not to the U.S., is it?
No.
Or not?
I don't think so.
Extradition to Sweden.
Yeah,
where he faces sexual assault charges. And this, again, is according to the Independent.
Yeah, and
UK.
To be clear, I mean, that sounds horrible, but the rape's a little different in Sweden. In Sweden, you can be charged for rape.
Rape's not as rapey.
Consensual sex without a condom. Isn't that what it is?
It is. And the whole thing was way trumped up. There's very little... But there's very little evidence to actually... I think he's stayed in the embassy just out of principle. I don't think if Assange had a fair trial, he wouldn't get convicted.
I actually think that that Assange may find a way or a reason to go back to Sweden anyway, because I think at this point, I think Putin would hand him over to Trump as a bargaining chip at some point. Because, you know, Trump and Putin are best boyfriends forever.
You mean that Snowden would head back? Because he's in Russia.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting mixed up here because Assange is in London in an Ecuadorian embassy, and Snowden is in Russia. Yeah, I think that Snowden is going to figure out somewhere to go that's, I don't know, where can he go, but...
Yeah, it would be smart, though. I don't think I'd want to be stuck in Russia, that's for sure.
Yeah, with Putin. Putin, see, the thing is, everyone's, like, upset because Putin and Trump seem to be buddy-buddy. And I kind of agree with, you know, if you're gonna put on your minarchist hat and say there should be government of some sort, or let's say we're being realists who are anarchists, but anarcho-capitalists, but we're in the real world where there actually are nation states. And the fact that those two are friends, Trump has said, you know, I think it's a good thing that the United States president is not the enemy of the Russian premier. I agree with that, except for the fact that I think that Trump is going to be the useful idiot of Putin. I don't think they're... I think Trump thinks he's a peer with Putin, and I don't think he is.
Yeah, well, I have long maintained that anyone who thinks Trump is anything other than a public figurehead is sadly mistaken. I mean, you just don't get to where he is if the powers that be, or shouldn't be, you know, aren't...
Didn't allow it.
Yeah, if they're not at least pulling some of the strings. Right. So, you know come on.
Clear, if anybody wants to have a clear understanding of like where the shadow government in America came from, watch the 10 or 12 part miniseries by Oliver Stone called The Untold History of the United States. And it's free on Netflix if you want to watch it. It's incredibly well done. And it'll make you smarter just watching it. And it's also like, it's an interesting angle because everything in it's true, but kind of like the way it's framed is, Oliver Stone is a patriot and loves America, and he's politically all over the map. I mean, he's backed at various times Barack Obama, Ron Paul, Bernie Sanders, and Jill Stein, and I think George Bush the first. So, you know, you can't really judge him by any of that. It's just weird. He, despite the fact that the movie JFK was basically a beautiful work of fiction, possibly. No, this show's really cool. You'll be able to say cool stuff like, well, yeah, GM, I guess Vaporwave is okay, but, you know, it begs the question of why during the Bay of Pigs crisis, Robert McNamara warned Jack Kennedy that Vatican II would lead to the alt-right liking hentai porn. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Freedom Fiends. So, we're talking about Chelsea Manning getting sentenced, mostly commuted. Doesn't he have to ship serve like 5 more months for some reason?
Yeah. Be out in May.
For whatever. What?
Because government.
Government. She'll be out for my birthday. Yeah. So
now, if Obama really wanted to make a difference, he'd pardon Ross Ulbricht as well.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Ross Ulbricht, who ran the Silk Road underground marketplace, allegedly. Yeah, and did not try to kill anybody. That was made up by the government. Right. Allegedly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hey, someone tried to steal $10 million from you, would you just sit there and go, cool, dude, you're not cool, dude.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think he did. I don't think he did at all. So, I guess the final thing is the reason I think this happened. I think Trump is going to literally, and I'm using that word correctly, destroy all of Obama's legacy, like the first week, even the first few hours. He's planning to undo Obamacare. He's got the votes to do it. Going to replace it with something
worse.
You know,
worse.
Worse, probably. Yeah. And
I've seen single payer thrown around.
Yeah.
Which is so far from small government that it's unreal. But
Oh, but it's Trump and the conservatives love
him. But it'll be okay. It's Trump here.
Because it's not Obama. So,
but I think that, you know, this is something Trump cannot undo. You know, a president can't, I don't think he can say, no, we're throwing, no. Because, you know, it's president
commuting a sentence. Double jeopardy and all that.
Yeah, it's double jeopardy. It's basically this, you know, maybe he could find new things to charge him on, but I doubt. And I think Trump hasn't tweeted about this yet, which is surprising. His last tweet was about golf, like 8 hours ago. I think that he did it so people will remember him for doing something cool. Although it's largely Obama's fault that Chelsea Manning was in prison. I mean, he could have commuted a long time ago. Why does he wait till 3 days before he's out? But
because that's what presidents always do.
I know. Maybe there'd be some more interesting ones. It'd be very interesting if he did, if he freed Ross. That's highly unlikely, though. Even though, you know, if you wanted to make an argument of like victims versus victimless crimes, or like if you believe, you know, spilling secrets is bad, and you know, I mean, in the Cold War, they would have killed you for that.
Yeah.
For what Chelsea Manning did and for what WikiLeaks guy did, Assange. But Republicans like Assange now because he basically, I wouldn't necessarily say got Trump elected, but I think he got Hillary unelected.
You know? Yeah.
I think which got Trump elected. So, I mean, I don't think he's a fan of Trump, but then again, too, I think that Hillary Clinton has been far more outspoken in, you know, Trump should hang. I mean, Trump should hang. Assange should hang.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. Those emails were leaked about, she was like, can't we just drone him in the embassy? Yeah she was horrible.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Drone an embassy in downtown London. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to get one guy you don't like. I mean, that's what government does.
Yep. You know,
collateral damage. All right. Who cares?
Any more comments on this? You want to move on?
I'm good.
So did you guys see the Cantwell?
Yay, she's out. I said yay. She's been commuted. All right.
So did you guys see the Cantwell versus Kokesh debate today?
Oh, Lord, no.
No.
You sound really quiet, Janet. Did you see it? Did you do something? You sound quiet.
No, I didn't. Oh, wait. Hold on. My mic level went down for some reason. But okay, now it's back up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But did you?
I saw a little bit of it. It was funny because it was in... with a really small audience, and it was in a hotel conference room with podiums, so it kind of looked like a presidential debate.
Huh.
It was in the same hotel where they do the Liberty Forum.
Liberty Forum, yeah.
You know, the not as fun pork fest indoors in the winter in New Hampshire.
Right. Yeah, I've been there.
I recognized the room, but and I didn't listen to it much. All I heard was Cantwell talking about confirming my suspicion that people said was not true, that he has been on a meth binge for a couple months.
Wow.
So I told you. Yeah.
Did he admit that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then he went on to start to talk about how crime is caused by genetics. And I just went, I've got better things to do.
Really?
Lame.
Yeah. Although, interesting thing about genetics is, you know, Cantwell's been one of these, like, you know, white people only for a long time, and then was dating a half Puerto Rican girl, which is, you know, Puerto Rican's American, and Puerto Rican's white. I mean, if you're Puerto Rican, your driver's license says white, but I guess it's considered, you know,
white Hispanic.
White slash other slash Hispanic. But all of his, like, white power friends abandoned him overnight. Like, you know, he lost, like, 90% of his backing and financial and like his friends. And then that was the thing we played where I beeped out 59 F-bombs in 2.5 minutes where he was live on the air yelling at his fans like, oh, well, that guy, effing throw him out on an effing helicopter, effing. But
how do people even take somebody like that seriously?
Most people don't. For most people, it's a joke. Yeah, but
some people do, and that's just
scary.
I don't know, flabbergasting. Yeah,
flabbergasting.
Flabbergasting. Yes,
I heard that use of flabbergast. I like it. Yeah. So then, you know, all his, he finally found love. He dated a girl for a while, lost all his followers, and then the girl got pregnant, aborted his kid because she didn't want his genetics.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends.
Wow.
An invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free and, of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
I'm still laughing about that.
So Gabby Barker said what?
In referencing the debate between Adam Kokesh and Chris Cantwell, he said, it's like a hobo fight over a dumpster fire.
Wow. Man. That's funny.
That is pretty true.
Well, you know what L. Neil Smith said about Gabby Barker?
Oh.
Gabby Barker is a pimple, a self-confessed intellectual property thief, a nasty, petty little insect born to be ignored. Why any of you are taking his opinion seriously is an utter mystery to me. He possesses no discernible wisdom or powers of observation worth talking to. L. Neil Smith, libertarian typist.
Is that the guy that wrote that book?
He wrote a few books. He's kind of well-known. It's not the other guy that wrote that book. There's three libertarian sci-fi writers that we all know on Facebook, and it's L. Neil Smith, and then who else? All of them. Scott
Beezer.
Scott Beezer's our friend, and L. Neil Smith.
And then there's the other initial guy.
There's the guy that we made fun of for a long time. Whose name, yeah. I can't even remember. What is it?
I don't know. Schulman or something.
Yeah, Schulman. Yeah. L. Neil Schulman. J. Neil Schulman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't keep up with all these celebritarians.
Yeah.
But, and their initials for first names.
Yeah, but L. Neil Smith got really upset because Dobby Barker, like, borrowed something of his and didn't credit him on it. Although, you know, his problem was copywriting it instead of BIPCOTting it. So if he'd BIPCOTted it, Davi would be agreeing by using it to be made fun of if he violates the terms of it. And actually, the BIPCOT license, you not only can make fun of people if they're the government and they use it, but it says in it that it must contain derivations must contain attribution. So, you know, he could have made fun of him for that. Hmm. He did anyway, but, you know, Davi would have been agreeing to the social contract if it had had the BIPCOT license. Yep. Yep. So,
well, I'm thoroughly confused now.
A few other things to cover here. I highly recommend this children's book called The Last Man Alive by A.S. Neill, N-E-I-L-L. It's a book written in the late 30s. Written in the late 60s, but I think it was written in the late 30s and published in the 60s. L. Neil Smith, A.S. Neill, A.S. Neill. Yeah, another writer with Neil and initials. That's kind of funny. I'm reading this book, paperback copy, got on Amazon, cheap. I read this book as a kid, or my dad read it to me, actually. My sister gave it to him. A.S. Neil started the free school movement. He ran this school in England called Summerhill, where basically, like, the kids had the same vote as the teachers. And it did not turn out to be chaos or anarchy. And, you know, they didn't spank the kids, and they turned out all right. And there was a lot of that in the U.S. in the 60s, and a lot of it was influenced by A.S. Neal's Summerhill School. But he wrote this book. It was actually transcribed from recordings of him telling a Sunday night story hour to the kids and, like, including the kids in the room in the story. And it's great. And it's very libertarian without calling it that. And, you know, the kids use machine guns and do a lot of things that, that kids can't do anymore in stories or in real life. And it's a great book. I highly recommend it if anyone has kids between, like, I'd say, you know, 4 to 8 if you want to read it to them, and, you know, 8 to 14 if 8 to 12 if they want, they're going to read it. It's a very good book. Last Man Alive. A.S.
Neal. I'm looking for it now. I see the sheet.
I'm actually still reading about this whole thing with Dobby and L. Neal Smith.
Yeah. There's a Freedom Fiends. It's like a book club where we just, like, surf the internet and talk about it on the radio.
Well, it looks like he's attacked Ian Freeman too. L. Neal Smith has attacked Ian Freeman too. Yeah. He's basically saying that the Shire Declaration was what was plagiarized.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, you know, I would say, put it this way, I think L. Neal Smith is a big doo-doo head for getting that upset about it and, you know, threatening blah, 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 you're violating blah, blah, blah. But I certainly would have credited it if I'd taken it and done with it what they did with it, which is basically, like, what they took most of the text and the style of layout of it. Style of layout doesn't really matter, but the, you know, the text itself they took and, like, kind of made it the basis of some other signatory movement. The Shire Society, which is like Free State Project for people that don't want to join Free State Project, more or less, that want to move to New Hampshire and be free, but, you know, want to be joiners, but don't want to join that other thing, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a joiner.
Some of the comments on here too are pretty funny.
Read some. Share.
Okay, so yeah, so basically this is a post on Facebook from Dobby, I just kind of skimmed it all, and it's
Dobby used to be a host on this show.
Yeah.
And at some point. So we liked his stuff so much, even if he quit, we're just gonna read his stuff and he's gonna be a host on this show against whether he wants to or not. We're drafting his ideas.
Yes.
We're not even gonna credit him. Let's just start reading his stuff and pretend we'll credit it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
like
basically
him,
it's
Ian Freeman. I'm kidding.
It's correspondence between him and Neal Smith, and, you know, and some in there between Ian Freeman and
who
L. Neal Smith
as well. Libertarian? I think somebody called, maybe it was Dobby, but somebody called L. Neal Smith a typist instead of an author. That's pretty funny. But L. Neal Smith signed that sarcastically. L. Neal Smith, libertarian typist.
Oh.
And, you know, I actually had a friend named Neal Smith who was a guitar player in a band called Back in the Day.
Yeah.
In San Francisco. Called
Back in the Day? Oh.
No. It was called Stevie Stiletto. And, you know, Stevie Stiletto were kind of pranksters and trolling the system in a funny way. Like, I remember reading this. There's this magazine called Maximum Rock and Roll back in the day, which was kind of like the Rolling Stone magazine for underground punk rock. Like, you'd look through this magazine when booking a tour, you know, from payphones with stolen telephone credit card numbers, because back then long distance cost money and there was not an internet, to see, like, you know, which 16-year-old dude is booking the shows in Iowa City this week, you know, and you'd call him up and he'd put on the show and, you know, borrow the money from his mom to rent the VFW hall. And, you know, it was all kind of by the seat of your pants, and it was really cool. And, you know, there was a network, and it was mostly through this magazine. And I remember in the letters section of the magazine one time, there were two letters, one right after the other. And the first was like, Stevie Stiletto just came to my town this weekend, and they were great, and we put them up, and they were the greatest guys ever. They played a great show. They let a bunch of people in who didn't have money. They played 3 hours straight. They took requests, and then afterwards they stayed at my house. They helped my little sister with her homework. They rewired our rec room. They programmed my dad's computer. They mowed our lawn. Just going on and on about what gracious, helpful people they were. And then the next letter was completely the opposite. It was somebody else, or probably them, but writing both of them, but they were sent from different cities. And it said, like, Stevie Stiletto came to my house. They raped my cat. They drank all our booze. They ran up our phone bill. Blah, blah, blah. It was pretty funny. I liked it.
Wow. Raped their cat. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't rape your cat, people.
Yeah.
So no, the other thing is
bad juju.
Bad juju. I want people to notice that we have a torrent club on the Freedom Fiends, and you should be torrenting and seeding the Freedom Fiends because it helps keep us around.
I do.
Into the future. Good. Thank you for your cervix. All right, so you should get the apps. Wow. You should run the torrents. You should mine Bitcoin.
Oh, I haven't been doing that lately. Ugh.
Yeah, well, versus
I need to get back on that.
Debate. What else we got? I think that's it. I think that's it. Oh, yeah. So, you guys do your thing.
Woohoo.
Oh, we did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were one of the articles that Chandler sent out for us to discuss has to do with Vladimir Putin.
He a manly man.
He's a manly man. Yeah. As a matter of fact, on this article, it's got I haven't like actually watched it, but it says how bizarre ultra manly photos help Putin stay in power.
What?
Riding shirtless on a horse. Oh, the horse looks so much better than he does, though. Like, I'm way attracted. I'm like looking at the horse going, wow, that's a nice horse.
Yeah, horse very pretty.
Horse is very pretty. Very, very an ornate bridle going on there. But
well,
anyway.
Apparently Putin likes prostitutes, particularly Russian ones, because
the title of the article is Vladimir Putin thinks Russian prostitutes are undoubtedly the best in the world.
Yeah. Well, there's this whole row about, you know, Trump and Putin and how Putin has the goods on him and all this, and he's just using Trump and whatever. And Putin made a comment in an interview. He said, Trump is a grown man, and secondly, he's someone who's been involved in beauty contests for many years. Yeah, that would be a scary beauty contest. He's been involved with beauty contests for many years and
most contests
and has met the most beautiful women in the world. I find it hard to believe that he rushed to some hotel to meet girls of loose morals, although our girls are undoubtedly the best in the world. So
that is
go
hilarious.
At least the guy's got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Like I was telling you, I've pretty much tuned out from the real world lately. I don't, you know, read news or talk about all this stuff anymore, and except for when I do show prep, and then I'm bombarded and I see all this crazy stuff, and makes me want to go live in the woods.
Well, this right here is not so bad. This right here is amusing, I think.
Yeah, it did make me laugh. That's why I said, I gotta send this one so we can mention this. And, not an endorsement of the guy, but it is not at all. Funny.
Yeah, and also what I think is funny is right after what you just read, it says the author of the article. Zach Beauchamp of Vox. This is an article from Vox.com. His colleague, one reaction which my colleague Emily Crockett said upon seeing the quote is that it's incredibly Trumpy. Bragging about the top-notch abilities of your country's prostitutes is exactly the kind of thing that Trump would do. In the same fashion that he not so subtly bragged about the size of his penis. Can you say that on radio during a Republican primary debate? He goes, I guarantee you there's no problem. Trump said that.
I missed that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, he said all kinds of things. But he has very small hands.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Like a cool beer run down the road. snowing out, or it's supposed to, or something. I don't know.
Oh, I've been so disappointed in the amount of snow that we've gotten here so far. When this same time last year, I mean, it had just dumped snow continuously almost, or it seemed like that. Maybe I'm exaggerating.
But
I just, yes, I love snow. Snow makes me happy.
Really?
I don't know why. Yes.
You just need to come to Maine then. Although this year, we haven't got a lot of snow. Like, we got a huge snowstorm, mm-hmm. I don't know, last 2 weeks ago. You know, we got dumped on good, over 2 feet. But that's been, really, that's it. Like, and now everything's just cold and frozen.
Right. Have you guys had the up and down temperatures and stuff?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
After that snowstorm, it was, you know, moderately cold for a few days. And then we had 2 days where it got into the 50s and everything melted. Well, we had the first day it rained and, you know, everything wanted to flood. We had flooded roads and everything. And then everything just started melting because we had like 2 days of 50 degree weather. And now it's cold again. Now it's back down to like, I think it was like 6 this morning when I got up. Like,
oh my goodness. Yeah.
You don't want to leave the house.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty cold. And I mean, and there have been times here that it's gotten that cold and it's like, this is a little bit too cold. Especially when it gets that cold and there's no snow. Like, I feel like it's pointless for it to be that cold and there be no snow. And it's just very annoying to me. So the weather has been a disappointment thus far this season here in Colorado for me. The Russians actually are probably to blame, but
Putin and Trump are doing a science experiment and ruining my weather, my winter.
But I keep hearing that I just have to wait, that it's like because typically for Colorado the real frozen precipitation doesn't really hit until really more like February and March. March is probably the wettest, and it's still cold, so it snows a lot. So I'm looking forward to that.
I hope it's like green by March, because I'm over this winter thing already. You know, being an adult, like, winters, we don't have snow days. At least I don't. You know.
Yeah.
And so what's
the
point?
Yeah, you still have to show up, don't you?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And, you know, unless it's absolutely undrivable, then, you know.
Right.
But and I don't have a snowmobile, so, you know, it's not like I can go out and have fun with that. So I'm pretty much over winter. You know, wood stoves are like the only good thing about winter, and my wood stove's on the fritz right now, so.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, last year I got a little fed up with it when we had a blizzard in like early May. Like, I was kind of annoyed by that. Like, I'm May? Really? Okay. This is ridiculous.
That's just a little bit silly. I remember one year I was, I think it was April 1st. I remember because it was April Fool's and I was taking off out of Augusta. We actually have an airport that's like the size of my house. It's tiny. And there's like two runways. And I was taking off to go to see my mom in Florida and it was snowing. Oh my God. It was huge, huge snowstorm. And I was on one of those little like rickety two propeller planes. I thought we were all going to die. I didn't even think we were going to make it off the ground, but flew to Boston. It was still snowing in Boston. Then by the time I got to Florida, it was sunny, 85 degrees, and it was so nice. But April 1st, man, who wants snow? Who wants a snowstorm on April 1st? That just seems wrong to me.
Yeah, I guess I do kind of get to the point where, I mean, it, like, you know, once it gets to be spring and it should be warm, I'm like, okay, we're done with this now.
Yeah, I've been trapped in the house all winter. I need to go outside.
So, and I bet where you are, boy, I bet it gets dark even earlier there than it does here.
Yeah, it does. Like, I drive home, I get out at 5 o'clock and it's dark by the time I get out of work. It's just, it's so,
Yeah. You know,
like, it almost stayed light till 5 p.m. almost. Yay.
Oh, really? Because where I live, you know, it's like right next to the mountains. And so by 4:30, it was the sun is down, it's behind the mountains. So, and it's not like straight up dark yet, but it's like, okay, the sun is down and it's only 4:30. This is ridiculous.
I know, right? Makes you want to eat, makes you feel like an old person. You eat bed at 5 o'clock and go to bed at 6.
Like, I'm tired now.
Yeah. Which is kind of what I did tonight, actually.
Yeah, I had a good nap too. But anyway, so we'll be back for the next hour of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market, the free market, not the black, well, somewhat free market. I'm sure some of this is regulated, but whatever.
No, the
none
gray
of this
market.
Is regulated. The gray market. Okay, cool. Anyway.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Tired.
Tired.
We want to go for a ride in my car.
To Bahaba.
That's right, to Bahaba. You know, I got to say, well, this is the Freedom Fiends, Bipcot, Bipcoin, all that.
I'll do the intro. This is the Freedom Fiends. This is just a standard intro for hour two. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's lawyer over at Iron Cannon, High Top Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite Lib Pair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. How'd that sound?
Pretty
the Freedom Fiends is covered by a Bipcot no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org.
Yay. I like those Bipcot orgies. They're interesting.
Well, okay, so what were you going to say?
Oh, I don't know. That was like a minute ago. Oh, yeah. No. If you want to watch something really funny, go to YouTube and check out Temp Tales by O Chang Comics. And it's like the epitome of... what people picture Mainers as with that accent. I can't even do it. Like, you think my accent's bad? Oh, just watch this. And it's so fun. Like, they have this one where they go ice fishing. Watch that one first. And they're short. They're like, you know, 5-6 minutes long. They're not very long.
And it's Temp Tales, T-E-M-P.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Green cool. Bud Kelly. Green Bud Kelly for president. Yeah, they're great. I mean, they're so entertaining. And it's really funny because my sister who lives in Florida is the one who introduced me to him. You know, being a Mainer, you'd think I wouldn't known this stuff, but nope.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, people, go to YouTube and check out Temp Tales. You'll laugh. He'll give you a good laugh. And who doesn't need a good laugh?
And it's by, and what was the, who's the
O Chang Comics.
O Chang Comics. Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Yep.
So we were going to talk about this here, Bitcoin paper wallet thingy. Just wanted to say that there has been a successful test of the first ever Bipcoin paper wallet via Forknote. And I'll just kind of read a little bit from this. Cold storage is coming soon. And this is on the bipcot.org page. And there's a cute picture of Bipcat looking at the first ever Bitcoin paper wallet. And it's got a zebra on it. It's kind of neat. Anyway. So it looks like that's been tested. And let's see. Yeah.
It works and it's awesome.
I don't think there's actually a version out yet that can be used. Wait a minute. Okay, so it says Okay, so Michael was able to scan the image and read the keys. There's two private keys with crypto note coins. Say that three times fast. Not just one like Bitcoin has. And if you click, okay, so if you go to bipcot.org/ yeah. /P=2189, really? Then you'll get
HTTP colon. What do you try? I'll just tweet it. What is it?
Okay.
Yeah, read the article about.
It's about HTTPS colon.
Tell me what you're reading about.
I'm reading about the Bitcoin paper wallet.
Bitcoin paper wallets. All right. Yeah, we built it, man. Let me just tweet this while you read it, so people.
Okay, so it's actually usable at this point.
No one's gonna type out HTTP colon slash.
Yeah, there's an S. HTTPS.
Yeah, secure.
Slow down. I'm trying to type this in.
You know that's
/ /P.
What is this, Einstein's theory of relativity or what?
I know. No, that would be E=mc².
Oh. You know what that stands for, though?
Yeah, it's energy equals mass times this is the velocity of light squared.
In centimeters.
Wow, you are smart.
It's just one of those like tidbits of things that I've like retained.
Can't say that on radio.
Tidbits. Can you say that on radio? It's just one of those things that I've like retained over the years. Whatever. It's like, I mean,
I retained water over the years.
Me too.
Speaking of which, I was just looking at people that used to be my friend in person that have all forsaken me in some way, and I was looking at them on Facebook. And I'm like, man, these people all look old.
Yeah. Gravity catches up with you.
Yeah, it's not just gravity. It's like, the funny thing is too, like, you know, like I'm kind of chubby, but I don't look nearly as old as I am. The skinnier you are when you get older, the older you look.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It is out the wrinkles in your face.
Yeah, it does. It's like you should, as you get older, at least for women anyway, I mean, this is what I know, that you should like, there's something that Catherine Deneuve said about that, I think. It was like, it's better to have Catherine Deneuve. You know who she is.
I don't know who that is.
Belle de Jour. Yes, you do. She's like a famous French actress and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so she was just saying that it's better to have a few pounds in your butt than wrinkles on your face or something like that.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I guess I'm in good shape both. Then. I don't look old.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of round now.
So I just tweeted the thing if people want to play along with the home game. So have you read the article yet?
I have not read the whole article. No, I have not.
We had to talk about butts and wrinkles.
Wrinkles.
I did mention the picture of Bipcat looking at the first ever Bitcoin paper wallet.
I know.
And I described it and I said that it has a zebra on it, which I think is kind of neat. It's cute. Anyway, so cold storage coming soon. So SLB, who's SLB?
One of our team members. He's a mysterious man who lives in Eastern Europe. Who's
that's the reason, dude.
He's the reason when Bitcoin died for a month and then came back, he's the reason it came back.
So he's been working hard on improving the forknote base, which we were testing. We were testing a Bitcoin version of the updated code. Forknote is a tool for testing updates. You only need to update the config file instead of spending 1 to 2 hours compiling after each update. We worked out some bugs and tested the new export keys function. It worked! Yay! I was able to scan the image and read the keys. There are two private keys with the crypto note coins. I already read that. Not just one like Bitcoin has. If you click on the image at the bottom of this post to get to the larger version, then print it out, you can scan the QR code to the left of the number 6 to the left of the zebra. Then you have the spend secret key and the view secret key. You can enter them on your end to recreate the wallet and extract the Bitcoin from it. And you won't need the password either. Read my post about hiding paper wallets by making them into ugly art here. It's a link. It's a hyperlink. Note, never run any CLI Bitcoin wallet, including Forknote Bitcoin, at the same time on the same machine as the Bitcoin GUI wallet. It can cause problems with the GUI wallet. If you accidentally do this, close both, reopen the GUI, and if you have problems, restore from your backup. You'll need to let it sync. This won't work in Bitcoin until the next version will be out when we get around to it, and then when test everything else, okay? And when we test everything else. details. But basically, in the CLI wallet with Forknoted. With Forknoted?
Forknote D. That's the...
Forknote D. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. With Forknote D will be Bitcoin D in final running. Open and... with Forknote D running, which will be Bitcoin D in the final, open another CMD window, command window, and open simple wallet. Then type export underscore keys to export keys and bring them into the QR code generator. Insert your QR code into some ugly art. Make sure it scans from the screen. Then print it and make sure it scans from the paper. Use a new wallet that you don't use for other transactions. To rebuild the wallet later, scan the QR code, save the keys in a text document. Then open Forknote D, which will be Bitcoin D in final. In another command window, open simple wallet.
I got to interrupt. I love how Chandler like walked away, left his mic open, and is like clearing his throat and urinating
and yawning.
We can hear it,
No, I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I'm
Okay, go on.
So when you open the command window,
hang on. I'm just gonna put his name last in the show notes because of that.
Go ahead. When you open simple wallet, then it will say. O for open existing wallet, G generate new wallet file, I import wallet, or E exit. Pick I. Then for wallet test name, enter test. For password, enter test.
I love that we're reading the tech directions on something that doesn't yet exist. People are making notes, I'm sure. Like, yes, this is fun, though. I like it.
Yeah.
They're still trying to type in the web address. Are you kidding me?
What was that? That was H? Then what?
Well, actually, if someone did all this and installed Forknote and brought in the Bitcoin config file from the Forknote.net site, they could do all this, and they could actually scan that paper wallet that's at the bottom of the post, and they could steal the two Bitcoin that are in that wallet.
Oh, wow.
So there's money in this, people, if you want it.
Yeah.
Bitcoin's 3 cents. That's 6 cents for the hour of work this will take you. Do it.
So after you put in the wallet test name, but then for the wallet testing, you enter test. For password, enter test. Then it will ask you for each of the keys. Enter them, then it will start syncing. When it's fully synced.
Where is it? It's syncing.
It's syncing. Stop
it. It will start syncing. Then when it's fully synced and Bitcoin will be there automatically. This will work for any other crypto note coins based on Bitcoin that update via the latest Forknote after all testing it complete. There's like some missing words in here.
You got some English going on there.
I know. I'll fix it right now. It's totally English. I know.
Yeah. Speaking of which, if you ever want to laugh really hard, just Google image search English.
Oh, yeah. English.com. There's a website.
Oh, you don't even have to do... Just do the Google image search. It's even better. It's all right there.
Hey, you're not... Jump down in this... what was the last line? The one with the typo?
Oh, the last line was... this will work for any other crypto note coins. Oh, okay, my God. That's so hard to say. Go ahead.
Just finish. Keep reading.
Based on Bitcoin that update via the latest Forknote after all testing it complete. Reads like Chinese directions for putting together a test.
I just said is in it instead of is.
Okay, after all testing is complete.
But Michael, isn't that what you do for a job, partly?
Yeah. Well, actually, part of what I do for a job is like one of the many things I do for a job is fix English. Sometimes when companies have like a manual for a computer or something, it'll be written in Chinese or Japanese, translated by someone in China or Japan to English,
and then English.
They'll send it to me to go through and make it not from English to translate from English into English.
That sounds like a cool job.
It sounds like an easy job.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Interchangeable barrels, they're awesome. I've wanted one for years.
There was a gun show recently here and I missed it. Kind of bummed.
I was kind of bummed. But, you know, I don't know. Who wants to go to, when you're poor, you don't really want to go to a gun show because you just walk around and you see all these wonderful guns that you want.
Trolling.
You know, you can't buy it. I think, like, the last gun show I went to was probably 6 months ago, and all I did was buy a book. I actually bought an awesome book called Unintended Consequences, which I highly recommend everyone read. It's kind of a hard-to-find book. Ross, I can't remember. Now you're going to make me.
That's an unusual last name. I can't remember.
Yeah. Unintended I can't spell. Yeah. it's a great, great book, though. It's too hard to describe, but you should just read it.
Okay.
It's by John Ross.
John Ross, okay.
And we've talked about it on the show before.
Oh, okay. And, yeah, it sounds familiar. So
yeah, it's very, very, it's a very large book. I mean, it's like, you know, 3 or 4 inches thick. So I think it's close to 1,000 pages. And there's e-copies of it floating around. I think Ernie has one on his site. But it was nice to actually get the book. I figured, well, I might as well buy something while I'm here. I think I bought that in a box of bullets. So, but I didn't get all the cool guns I wanted.
Yeah.
So I skipped this last one. All right. So continuing with paper wallets.
Right. With the paper wallet. So the last I read was about the that the wallet will work with any other crypto note coins based on Bitcoin that update by the latest fork note after all testing is complete, not it complete. And then it says, do not use local, not online QR code generators. If you use an online generator, someone else will have the private keys. For Windows, I used this program, which is hyperlinked, to make my QR codes. Here's an article on options in Linux. Let me know if you know and test a good one. And we will never be making an online Bitcoin paper wallet generator. You'll have to make them yourselves for more security. And this will be available in the next version of Bitcoin out soon-ish. And yeah, there's like 2 BIP in that wallet. If you can get it, you're welcome to it. Take some hoop jumping through, though, before it's solid in Bitcoin. So let us know. You deserve it if you can get it. Whee! MWD. So that might have been a little loud. anyway, so that is it regarding the first ever Bitcoin paper wallet via Forknote. And Michael did tweet the address to this, so I won't read it out to you again. Chandler? Oh, Chandler's been droned.
No, so, he hasn't. He just shut off his mic for a minute and forgot.
Okay.
I was listening. I just, you know, sidetracked.
But you
know,
but you,
I have
but
like,
you,
I get but you drunk did, all
you,
the time.
Well, you know, you disappeared from the, from the Fiend Phone window. Like you're,
that's
like you were,
really weird.
Yeah, even though you were muted, you were like not on there.
Oh, I see. I'm still not in there, huh?
No, well, you're there now for me, but
I don't see it.
Yeah. No. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the next thing we're going to talk about is this article you sent out from vocative.com. It's liberal preppers stock up on guns, food as Trumpocalypse looms.
I had one of those LOL moments when I saw this article, because many of these people that are now beginning to do this are the same people that 2 years ago laughed at me for doing this, you know.
Yeah.
But the image.
My, how the tables have turned.
Oh, yes. And the image is the funniest thing in this article.
It is at
the
pretty funny.
At the center of this, it's a square with a bunch of stuff in it. And at the center is a suitcase with Bernie and at
the Bernie sticker.
Yeah, Bernie sticker. And it says, at not my president. And there's also a book, The Constitution of the United States, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of lame. And then there's a couple of cans of Amy's organic something. There's a pair of boots, binoculars, a shotgun.
I'm sure there's probably Timberlands.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
A couple of cans of Amy's organic soup.
Yep. And bullets, a cell phone with a solar charger, which is actually a really good idea. I have one of those.
A vape.
A passport. Oh, there is a vape. I didn't even see that one. Yeah. Yep. There's a vape, a passport, a comb, a copy of George Orwell's 1984.
A gas mask.
A grenade. Oh, there's so much more. There's actually a couple of things that I can't even identify. And we will continue with this after our trip to the market.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Dan, there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
A storm is coming. Get to the store quick.
Did you send it?
I did. And that's coffee brandy. And notice, you know, you have to get your milk, coffee brandy, and toilet paper.
That sounds really good, coffee brandy.
It's really gross. Like, it's just,
it is.
Oh, it's like ghetto alcoholism in New England. Just
yeah. Kind of like I don't know, what are those, like the fortified wines or whatever? Like people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or 40 Colt 45. You know, it's gross.
Yeah,
yeah. If you're not from New England, you probably don't know what coffee brandy is. Do a Google image search. It's pretty funny.
I still haven't gotten it. I don't know why I haven't gotten it yet, but anyways.
I sent it to you on the Facebook's Messengers thing.
Oh, on Facebook Messenger? Oh, there it is. Well,
yeah. I'm not going to my email. That's on the other screen. I'm not going that far over.
Oh, coffee flavored brandy.
Allen's coffee flavored brandy. Yeah, storm is coming. Better get to the store quick. Yeah,
it's kind of good to me. I don't know. I'll try it.
Geez, next time you come to Pork Fest, we'll have to bring a bottle.
Okay,
you can have
cool.
It all to yourself.
Get some, add some moonshine. And actually, you know what? I will not be at Pork Fest this year for sure. I'll be at Liberty Fest in Michigan.
Oh, it's the same thing.
It's the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence with the whole Pork Fest thing this year. I don't know if I'm going to do that or not.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I would have done both anyway. I guess it just depends. Well, I mean, the fact that Pork Fest is in June and Liberty Fest used to be in August, I mean, that made it a little easier just because of that, you know, I could save a little bit of money in between. But yeah.
I am interested. Like, I was on Call to Freedom the other night with Will, and we were talking about that. Pork Fest specifically, and you know, I was saying how I was very disappointed the last couple of years. Aside from seeing cool friends, it seems like Pork Fest has kind of been taken over, you know, by the Koch brothers and the mainstream libertarian movement and all that. And he made the point, well, a lot of that was because it's election year
and the Pork Rangers.
Those poor kids. Oh, gave him such a hard time.
Yeah. The park rangers are coming. Look busy.
Yeah. But, so yeah, I'd be kind of interested to see how it is this year now that the whole election year thing is done, but I just don't really have that much incentive to go. I mean, for me, it's mostly always been about just hanging out with friends and vacation.
Yeah,
you know?
Friends that we don't get to see that often.
Right. You know, I may go to one of the presentations every once in a while if I can motivate myself to get up from the campsite and walk down to the pavilion, but... Usually I'm too busy yakking.
When you get out of your chair and you move your tobacco and your like rolling papers and get all that out of the way.
Yeah, and you got to be prepared. you got to bring some beers and roll some cigarettes and bring your iPod and walk down. You know, who needs all that headache? You just stay at the campsite and cook some food. And,
Yeah. So I mean, because this past year, you were like the Slopies and like we were all like right there together. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. We'll see. And, I mean, we had talked about just doing our own thing, but we'll see.
Well, doing the Fiend shows from there is just so much fun.
Well, that's like really the major incentive to get me going. You know, if I knew a bunch of Fiends were going and we could do live broadcasts, and I still don't know how we didn't get kicked off the air last year, but especially that. Well, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it became a bit of a cluster, but oh well.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But yeah, I can't speak for Jeremy, but I know that, definitely Lou and I will be at Liberty Fest in Michigan this year. So
I know I should make a trip out. I don't even like leaving my house, let alone going halfway across the country. It scares me.
Well, it's a lot farther for me, and I drove last year. Yeah. I didn't drive. My friend Dave and I drove together, but he did most of the driving, which I'm very grateful for. But that was a haul. I think I'm going to have to fly next time. And the only reason why I didn't fly before was because I wanted to bring Roxy, and I didn't think that Roxy was small enough to bring on board and go under the seat. I was thinking I would have to check her at like baggage, which I did not want to have to do. But then I met someone that had their Cavalier King Charles. Have you ever seen one of those dogs? They're really, really cute.
Not.
But they're about the size of Roxy. And this girl had hers and had hers on, on board with her in a carrier under the seat in front of her. And I'm like, Roxy could totally do that.
There you go.
If this dog could do it, so could Roxy. So next time, Roxy's going to, I'll probably fly to Michigan next time and I'll bring Roxy under the seat.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Yeah.
So, before we went to the market, we were talking about...
Oh, yeah, the liberal peppers.
Yeah, and we were just describing the picture. So, again...
The picture's funny.
The picture is so funny because there's so many things. And one of the greatest things in the picture is in the prepping kit... You have to have a can of PBR because they have one in there and, a compass and a couple of food bars and a vape. Come on, old timey radio, sunglasses, regular glasses. And what was that water bottle called?
Oh, the Nalgene bottle. Yeah, there's a Nalgene bottle.
But I just
a hand grenade. It's like
I think the liberals are a little off on that. They used to make fun of us preppers, mm-hmm. I don't have any hand grenades in my bug out bag. Not saying that I wouldn't put one in there if I could, but I don't have any. So and I have 1984 committed to memory, so I don't have that in my prep out bag. I think like that's kind of moot thing to have in your prepping kit because you kind of already know
headed. Yeah, if anything, there should be like some sort of survival.
Yeah,
like instructions.
Yeah,
like how to catch fish and build fires and things like that. But yeah, at that point, it's kind of like you said, it's a little moot to have that. Like, you should have read that way before.
Well, and I've talked about this before, too. Like, I have a lot of ebooks and videos on survival and, you know, different wilderness skills and all that. And that's great. And you should check those out and, you know, do whatever. But you should also have a hard copy. Like, I have a hard copy military survival book. It's rather large, but, you know, if you can't charge your tablet or your cell phone to read that PDF on how to survive in the wilderness, you might want to have a hard copy. You
yeah,
know, just,
definitely.
Just saying.
Yeah.
So, but I do think it's very entertaining that a lot of people who, like I said before, 2 or 3 years ago considered us preppers crazy. Now the tables have turned. The pendulum swung to the other extreme, and they're worried, and they're starting to, you know, do it.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't think it's a political thing. I think it's a common sense thing. Right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Yeah, they finally wised up.
Well, I think they wised up for the wrong reasons, but whatever, I'll take it.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
and then you know, next time a Democrat is elected, then they'll be like, "Oh, yay, everything's fine again."
Yep. And we can retire our bug out bags and our survival kits. But it is common sense. Like, you know, this Christmas, I got a couple of big shelving units, and I was kind of inspired because I work with one of the clients I work with. He's a 50-year-old man, and he lives with his mom, who's 91, and God bless her, she still takes care of him, which is amazing to me. And you know, this woman comes from a different generation, and she's older too, and she understands that, you know, in the wintertime she may not be able to get out. And you go in her basement, and she has like four huge shelves just stacked with food. She has a huge like stand-up freezer, and to her it's not even prepping. It's just like, well,
it's just common sense. It just like, yeah, what if you can't get out, and what if you don't have power for weeks? That happens to people.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I ask her about it, and I'm like, so how do you get all this stuff? She's like, well, you know, when I go shopping every week, if something's on sale, even if I have, like, you know, can of tuna fish is on sale, or, you know, a box of rice, or salad dressing, or whatever, you know, if it's on sale, she'll buy a couple extra, and why not? Because you put it on the shelf. It's not like it's not going to get used. Yeah. You're still going to use it in your day-to-day life. So why not have a little extra? You know, it just seems like common sense. I mean, you can take prepping to a whole nother level, but that's the start. And it kind of inspired me. You know, I got those shelves, and I cleaned out my freezer and cleaned out my basement, and I started. And I've been going to the store, and, you know, when I've got a little extra money, which isn't often, but when I do and I see stuff on sale, I'll buy a couple extra. And I've been kind of, you know, putting that up. I'm nowhere near on the level she is, but, you know, I'm getting there. And I figure, hey, you know, maybe I lose a couple of shifts at work. You know, my client gets sick and I don't go in, and I lose 20 hours a week, you know. Well, that's a little less money, but you know what? I don't have to worry about it because I got food in my kitchen. So,
yeah,
it's just common sense.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, I sadly don't have enough. I actually have a get home bag in my car that I keep in my car. And I've got the beginnings of a bug out kit in my apartment. But I don't have nearly enough food. And so that just reminded me I had planned on stocking up on more food, and I haven't done that yet. So I need to do that. Need to take care of that.
Well, and the thing is people go overboard and then they get overwhelmed. They're like, well, you got to spend all kinds of money. And you really don't. Just do it week by week. You know, grab an extra, you know, box of macaroni and cheese. Grab an extra couple of rolls of toilet paper. I mean, she doesn't only have food. She has cleaning supplies. She has, you know, paper towels and toilet paper and lotion, you know, because, you know, dry skin in the winter. You know, you go through lotion. She's got a couple bottles of that. Little stuff like that. Just pick up the toothpaste. You know, go to the dollar store. A couple of toothbrushes, toothpaste. You know, little stuff like that. It never hurts to be prepared.
Yeah, I think for me it would have to be portable because if you know what really hit the fan, I would head for the hills.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Gotta be portable.
Yeah, I don't know about me. I think about that sheltering in
place.
You're
listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When the final element issues, it's not good on you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on jeep,
and Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all.
About yoga and exercise and losing weight and everything during the break, and I just want to say that I am starting yoga teacher training again. I've done it before and didn't complete it before, but I'm starting it again this Saturday, as a matter of fact.
So is that and, to learn to become a yoga instructor?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. And I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I'm trying to sort of stay in the moment and not anticipate a whole lot in the future, because one of the things that scares me about it, even though I love it and I know it's, and I kind of, you know, it's like one of those things that I have a desire to help people, and I always kind of have. Yeah. Well, I've always kind of wanted to, I mean, I've always sort of had a desire to help people, and I think yoga is really helpful. Like it helps people in so many different ways, not just physically, but definitely mentally, because it requires a lot. I mean, there's meditation involved, obviously. I don't know. I mean, it's just good. It's a holistic thing. It requires discipline. And yeah, anyway, I've been kind of like going, oh my God, you know, it's like, what's going to happen? Like when I'm a teacher and da da da, I'm in front of people.
Oh, it'll be awesome.
I heard a comedian talk about the discipline it takes for meditation. And this is kind of how I am. He said something like, I've been meditating lately, by which I mean last week I meditated once for 3 minutes, which is the most I can bring myself to do.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really
hard.
Well,
I think it depends on how you define meditation.
Like, well, there's all different kinds too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've tried the, you know, sitting lotus style. Om, you know, that doesn't work for me. I get it, but it doesn't work for me.
My sponsor said, you know, in AA, part of the thing is prayer and meditation. And I've heard it said that prayer is talking to God. Meditation is taking time
listening.
To listen.
Mm-hmm.
And, he used to say that, and he was kind of kidding, but he was kind of serious. He's like, you know, for me, meditation is getting up in the morning, having coffee and sitting on my porch, smoking a cigarette and talking. And like,
exactly.
More than he could ever do before, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. You know,
it totally is.
Right. And for me, like, I find it much easier to be moving while I meditate. Like, you know, because, I mean, you may have heard of, like, walking meditation and that type of thing. I mean, I just find yoga in and of itself meditative, because I'm completely focused on what I'm doing. And my mind is not, you know, when I was going through all that anxiety and everything, the only time I didn't feel anxious was when I was doing that. Doing yoga or some other like kind of intense workout where I had to really focus on what I was doing and my
it's a directed purpose.
Yeah, that monkey brain, which is what they call it in yoga. A lot of people call it the monkey brain. It's just like so incontrollable. It just goes away. And
I mean, for me, I get up in the morning, and when I actually get up early enough where I don't have to rush and get ready for work, you know, I sit down at the computer and I write. I mean, I'll smoke a couple of cigarettes and drink my coffee and just write. And it's usually a stream of consciousness thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't go in with any certain intent. And for me, that's a really good form of meditation. And I find when I let myself, when I give myself the at least 20 minutes to do that, mm-hmm. I tend to have a much better day as opposed to when I just get up and, you know, shower and get ready and rush mm-hmm. and eat and out the door. So, I mean, I think meditation is different. You know, depends on your personality and your lifestyle, mm-hmm. but you definitely got to find that way to kind of quiet and focus your mind because right. I totally have that monkey brain, man.
Yeah. And you're right. Writing totally helps that too. Like, you know, journaling, you know, like I've tried to get into the habit of making like a daily gratitude list. Like, even if I don't feel grateful, like just the action of saying, like thinking about the things that I have in my life that, wow, like, okay, I have a job and I have a car and I have shelter, you know, and it's like so many people don't have those things.
And we take it for granted.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are things that I you know, it's like it's detrimental for me to take those for granted because I don't know, I feel like that, you know, for me, I have a tendency to, I'm kind of addicted to novelty and that it's really good for me to look at the little things and just like try to find joy in like little things on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there's a great Dresden Dolls song and it talks about, you know, just waking up in the morning, and you shouldn't even take that for granted.
I'm alive. Breathing.
It sounds cheesy, but hey.
No, it's true. Yeah.
You're here.
Yeah, you're not guaranteed the next day.
That's exactly it.
So.
Worms.
Yeah. Anyway, that sounds like some good redemption in the third act.
Well,
liberty starts within, y'all.
It sure does.
Yeah. It's great talking to you too. I've missed being on here. So.
Me too. It's always good for my soul yakking on the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, me too. Worms.
Take care, all. Worms.
You too.